Can you do? Can you recite Yoda lines as Christopher Walken?
Yes. Try not. Do. Do not. There is no try.
That was the greatest thing I've ever heard.
Hey, Anthony, where'd you get this podcasting stuff from?
It fell off the back of a truck.
Help! I thought they were going to make me, but they're going to shoot me in the back of the head like Joe Pesci!
We're back on Breaking Bread, and today we're here with Rob Francaise, a.k.a. the real-life Peter Griffin. Welcome to the show, Rob.
Boppity-boppity-beepity-boppity. Boppity-boppity.
It's an honor to be on here. You know, I've been watching you guys, and I was always hoping that I'd end up on the show.
Thank you.
I love your Breaking Bread logo.
Thank you.
Second best show of all time.
Yeah.
After The Sopranos.
100%. I'm glad you said that. We're starting off on a great note.
Sopranos, number one show.
Oh, for sure.
I'm not the show with that. Sorry.
Yeah. You wanted to put it out there.
I had to.
Yeah.
The public service announcement.
Right.
That's already going to get trolls.
I don't care.
It's arguably.
Social media is like World of Warcraft. You get the trolls. You get the social justice warriors. You let them battle it out.
Well, like you have people. You have people who say that The Sopranos was the greatest series of all time, and then you have people who are wrong.
Yeah.
You know?
The respectee, some of the guys, fit it being, the represented.
That is so. You know what? So before the show, Rob was cracking us up with impressions, and he did Tony Soprano, he did the Gandolfini impression. And the whole time I'm wondering, but does he do the Silvio impression? And not a lot.
When I think I'm out, they pull me back in.
Yeah, it's because that.
But Michael, is it true? No.
You ski fools.
Because it's the face. It's the face, too.
That's it. You got it. You got to turn into the character. I actually got to meet him once.
So, yeah. Really
was he nice. Cool guy?
Van Zandt. Yeah. They had a. Vinny Pastore was doing a comedy night in the city one night.
Mm. Him?
And, we decided to go down there, and Stevie Van Zandt showed up. I'm like, holy shit, there's Silvio. And everybody else was afraid to talk to him. I'm going to go up to Silvio. I was like, you know, Mr. Van Zandt, I got to tell you, Silvio is one of my favorite characters of all time. Thank you. You know, and then I said, can I get a picture? Yeah, sure.
And then
I
you
got a picture with him.
And then you come to find out that's just his face.
That's it, you know. he's just like that, you know.
His hairpiece is wild in that.
I'm going to show up.
Wild.
And get the fuck out of here.
I didn't know it was a hairpiece until I saw Stevie Van Zandt, like, on the news. And I was like, what?
Yeah, he's always with the do-rag. I learned, like,
the whole time.
Did you know he's like a member of the E Street Band? Like, yeah. Bruce Springsteen's
You didn't
band.
Know that?
You didn't know that?
I knew
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm saying, I knew he didn't know. Yeah,
you didn't know that?
Lead guitarist. I think he's the lead guitarist.
Fuck? Yeah.
Yeah, he's Greg. Very multi-talented. Is there any impression that you can't do?
My kryptonite is voices that were done by women. So
okay, well, that makes sense.
Like, I can't, you know, the only one I could kind of do was like Marge Simpson.
Homie, you don't have to say Jay.
Yo, homie, Jay Simpson.
Yeah, wow.
A lot of voices. You know, I've been doing them since I was a kid. I always found it to be entertaining, you know, that people could do voices. My brother, I was actually the one that started it for me.
Really?
He's 10 years older than me. And he, you know, I grew up on Sesame Street and all
right.
that stuff. And he used to do the Grover voice for me. And then I remember finding out Frank Oz was not only Grover, he was Yoda, he was Miss Piggy, he was Fozzie the Bear. Like, one guy did all those voices. Then you find out that Mel Blanc did all the Looney Tunes, and like, holy shit, you know, these are all the people that I looked up to. And I remember seeing the E.T. movie when I was a kid, and the older brother could do the Yoda impression, and I always thought that was funny, too. So I guess I kind of just started picking up on it. I would, you know, watch Looney Tunes.
Yeah, what's up, Doc?
And just kind of watch along, and
Wabbit season, duck season, fire, you're despicable.
So is
that's fantastic.
What is going
it is.
On?
Well, it's you became a fan of cartoons and in essence became a fan of all these different characters and the voices. But
and one of my biggest heroes in the world was Robin Williams, and he
a
cartoon personified. And I kind of think of myself as a real life cartoon, and it's like, you know, he's definitely one of my heroes for sure. And, you know, that I think bringing that kind of energy into the mundane of everyday life is really what keeps people going a lot of days. And I get fan mail all the time to tell me, you know, I've been going through a tough time and something as stupid is going, and, you know, people go nuts over that stuff. You know, it's not no skin off my nose, but it means something to somebody else. And I've kind of been empathing that over the last 11 years plus doing this real life Peter Griffin thing. It's like it's therapeutic for me.
You've been at it 11 years?
Well, the
October 2012 was the very first time I ever dressed as Peter Griffin in public. I went to New York Comic Con the day before with my friends dressed like Western Ghost Rider, and my head couldn't have been hotter if it was actually on fire, and I ended up getting heat stroke at the show. So to be more comfortable, I found the shit in my closet to be Peter, and I started doing the voice at the show. And I can actually tell you exactly the moment that he was born. I was at Artist Alley, and they had these ATMs over there. Mm-hmm. A lot of the businesses are cash only, and they'll give you a little break if you pay cash. So when the money came out of the machine, something's clicked in my mind. I was like, oh, my God, I won. And everybody within earshot turned around. They're like, holy shit, that's Peter Griffin. So I just started talking like him the whole day. I didn't break character for 5 hours.
Wow.
My friend's nuts. It was hysterical. And, you know, it's been a hell of a ride. I've got
some really cool people. Had you been a fan of Comic-Con before then? Because you grew up on cartoons.
Oh yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You and your brother, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And He-Man and G.I. Joe and Ninja Turtles.
So you had been attending Comic-Con for a while.
Yeah. There used to be a small convention called Icon on Long Island.
Right.
I'm going back 2001.
Oh, wow.
I started going to these cons with my brother because he was into that same stuff, too. He's the one that introduced me to all that stuff in the first place. And we would go there. We got to meet Peter Mayhew, played Chewbacca, and a bunch of people at those cons. I thought that was cool. You know, you get to meet the people that were in the movies. And
100%.
I never thought, you know, they stopped doing that convention. I heartbroken. But then, you know, New York Comic Con started getting bigger. And in 2010, no, was it 08 or 10? I went with my brother, and we didn't dress up or nothing. And it was a big, you know, fanfare and all that stuff. Got to meet Luke Ferrigno that day, and it was kind of crazy, and it was fun to see all the costumes. But I never thought I was going to become a part of that kind of thing. And it was really funny because you got, like, lanyards with the pass for New York Comic Con. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't as big back then. So we ended up going to Carmine's in Times Square.
Yes, the restaurant.
Yeah, where they have like the, you know, Mort de Vam size.
Yeah, family style. Yeah,
I love Carmine's.
Carmine's is great.
I'm not going to lie.
My brother and I polished off a whole thing of linguine with scongili and calamari. The aioli, forget it. But when we went in there, we had the things, and they must have thought we were press or something. They put us on this big table that seats like 10 people with the overlook of Times Square. I never got waited on so fast in my life. It was so funny. It was like me and my brother had that. And then we ordered a tiramisu. They give us a whole fucking cake. I was like, holy shit, how are we going to finish this? We couldn't, but it was, I got a kick at it. I was like, all right, well, that was my New York Comic Con experience. I don't expect to do that kind of thing again.
Really?
Because it was like a lot of money. And then,
yeah.
Fast forward a few years later, this was 2012. I was working at a credit union on Long Island. A bunch of coworkers formed this like blog, like geek blog, and they bought tickets for us all to go to New York Comic Con.
Oh, that's great!
We can get, you know, stuff for the, you know, footage and stuff to write about. And then there was like budding personalities and this and that, and the thing ended up folding before Comic Con even happened. But we already had all these tickets, so we decided to have fun with it. And that's really where this whole thing really began. And, you know, it's all about taking chances that you wouldn't normally do.
It was your first time back at Comic-Con since childhood.
Yeah.
And you didn't just go back with a bang. You made a splash at Comic-Con. You became an icon of Comic-Con.
It's nuts. I never expected it to happen. And I figured that was my 15 minutes of fame. And then stuff started going viral on Reddit and that kind of stuff back then. The fries are done.
Rob, like, I really think that you should be doing, like, freaking voiceover work. Like, yeah, I can totally see radio, you doing it.
But that's ultimately the goal. That would be a dream, is to work as a voice actor on animation. I was never, I never chased like the acting, being an actor on film. That was never like my passion or anything like that. But the voice acting, because I feel like it's a freer form of acting, because you can become anybody. You don't have to be a giant purple monster to become a giant purple monster in voice acting. You can cut loose and let characters fly that you would never be able to pull off physically. And I think that's where a lot of the uniqueness of voice acting comes in. It's like you can look at a guy and he looks like every other mundane guy, and then he comes out with this voice and you just don't expect it. It's like, holy smokes, he brings something else to life. And I signed up for Steve Bloom's voice acting class online. And if you don't know who he is, he's a legendary voice actor. Actually has the Guinness World Record for most voice acting gigs in the history of voice acting. And if you watched Toonami back in the day, he used to be the robot, Tom Toonami. He used to introduce the shows. And he was also Spike Spiegel on Cowboy Bebop.
If you had to pick something... If you had to pick like a dream gig or a dream show that you would want to be on, like what would you say it is?
It's a tough one because there's a lot of shows. I would love to work on anything Star Wars. I'll be the Stormtrooper number 4 that gets shot immediately, like, off camera. I don't give a shit as long as I get to wear the costume. That would be a dream project. But as far as voice acting, I think I'd have a lot of fun if I got to play the Thing from the Fantastic Four. They wouldn't even have to put CG on me. They could have saved money. I look like the Thing.
It's glubbering time. That damn Yancey Street gang.
I always loved that character. I resonated with the Thing. He's my second favorite superhero of all time, after Thor. Thor's number 1. Because I feel Thor all over,
So with the Family Guy voices, out of all the characters, like how many can you do?
There's a lot. I mean, I could do Peter. I could do Stewie. I could do Glenn Quagmire. Giddy, giddy, giddy. All right. I can do...
A.K.A. Dave Damiani.
I can do Cleveland.
I can do Consuela. No, no.
Herbert the Pervert. Now you're starting to piss me off.
I'm trying to think.
Can you give me an all right? A Quagmire all right?
All right.
I love it. I love it.
I mean, there's so many great voices on that show, but I've been, I love doing Consuelo, though. It's especially if something's annoying me, I'm like, no, no.
Mr. Superman, no here.
The way she just shrugs it off.
I know I have money.
Yeah. I feel like Consuelo can get rid of anybody.
Dios mío. He's my baby. His name is Ernesto.
like I said, the voices have been a part of me for a long time. Even before I was a Family Guy fan or even heard of Family Guy, and it's taken me through. I think I kind of started coming out of my shell when I was in high school, and that's kind of like when I first started doing it for people outside, like the family and stuff. Because my mother used to embarrass the shit out of me as a kid.
She would say, like, do the...
Not even that. It was even worse. You'll appreciate this. She used to make me sing opera for company.
Oh, yeah.
She used to make me sing, and I hated singing. I didn't like it. But I used to do it as a parody, because she was obsessed with Andrea
really?
Bocelli. So she just makes me go, con te partiro. And she would make me do this for people. And I would get so embarrassed. I would stand in the shed, and I didn't want to look at them. I would sing from the fucking wall, and people must have looked ridiculous. But that's the only way I would do it. And I think, psychologically, that kind of got me ready for performing in front of people, because if I could do that shit,
Right there, the shame was removed.
That was it, Now I don't give a shit. I'll start singing in the middle of my streams, or we have fun.
That's actually, that's
cool.
You just made me appreciate my mother a lot more. Just
I was going to say,
I think she broke me. Unfortunately, I lost my mother back in.
I'm so sorry.
Very sorry.
But she was very proud of the stuff that I did.
Very recently. I'm so sorry, Rob.
Yeah. It's tough losing a parent, especially like an Italian loses his mother. It's like he loses a part of himself.
Yeah.
But, you take the good and you take the bad, because I terribly miss my mother, but I don't miss seeing my mother in pain. And she was in pain for a long time.
I'm so sorry.
Brother. But, that's where I get my sense of humor from. My mother was hysterical.
How great is it that you do something that brought your mother joy, you do it for so many people now.
Oh yeah.
The same way you said before that people are messaging you and saying that seeing you has turned their day around. That's such a beautiful way to honor your mother.
Yeah.
You know, continue to do that. That's a wonderful thing, Rob.
Staying alive for her, you know, and then she never dies because she taught me how to cook. You know, I'm fantastic. You know, I always like to say I never trust a skinny chef, but she lives on in the recipes that I make, from the Zeppelins we make for Christmas time, the Bizzagine we make for Easter, and
wow.
You know, like, because she was good with her little note cards and stuff. She had everything written down, and then when the pandemic hit and we're kind of all stuck in the house together, her and my father sat down and they went through a spiral notebook and actually wrote out all the recipes.
Oh, that's nice.
So you could see it nice. And I took it a step further and I took a picture of those so that God forbid anything happens.
There you go.
It's in the iCloud now.
It's backed up.
I pull it up and I put it on the television and, you know, I say a prayer to my mother and I cook. And nice. I think every time I make the sauce.
Yeah, Tim Apple's got them
in
the iCloud.
That's it.
That's great. That really is nice.
I don't know if this is, I don't know if you ever got this before, but a lot of people say, I don't look Italian at all. I didn't think that you were like Italian. Like when I saw you,
the Irish cousin, milkman's kid, you know? Yeah.
No, but here,
this guy's a Franzese. What the hell?
Yeah. No,
I'm the Wonder Bread Wop.
You know? Wonder Bread Wop.
The disgrace to the Italian race.
No, look, I mean, no, but I like get that. So I totally, but when I first saw you at the feast, then that's when I first met you. You had the Giglio shirt on.
Yep,
and like,
there we go. I had a represent.
Like the cornicello. I was like, damn, I love that he's repping right now.
Rob's family's from the neighborhood.
Story, so it's not just the cornicello.
The OG neighborhood.
My mother actually bought this in Florence back in 1975 when she went on vacation with my father before my brother and I were born. And then the chain was her brother's chain. It was a Cuban link. And he passed away from cancer back in 07. He was my godfather. So I ended up having the cornicello fit to this necklace, and I wear them both with me every day.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, we got a little matching thing going
on. That's it. Look at that. Twinning. Look at that.
Look at us. About your the voices that you do, it's so much more than that. The way you do an impression, and a lot of people will do a voice when they do an impression, but Rob has it nailed down as all the brilliant impressionists do. You have a way of capturing someone's inflections and someone's essence.
I'm so dedicated, I got fat to be Peter.
So
method acting.
Really?
You are your heart out, Daniel Day-Lewis.
You beat me to it.
I love it.
He beat me to it.
I love it.
I was going to say he's the Daniel Day-Lewis of Comic-Con. He beat me to it.
Daniel Day-Lewis gave himself diabetes for a role. No, I'm just kidding.
You are, like, one of the things I said, or I asked you about earlier was, like, you know, a lot of people do impressions, say they have a good Christopher Walken impression. We all just saw the Super Bowl commercial. Right, where the whole commercials have people.
There were many imitations, only one. Real. Christopher Walken. Wow.
The way Rob avoids eye contact when he's doing the impression is exactly, that's how Christopher Walken is. It's so much more than a voice.
You got to be aloof a little bit when you
It's everything. It's everything.
You got to act out the part. You can't just half-ass it, you know?
Right. What are your most requested impressions? Like, once people know you do something, right?
Most people want to hear, shut up, Meg.
Right.
That's number one. Say, shut up, Meg. Well, the surfing bird, but those are probably the top two. But outside of that, I mean, my friends love when I do, like, the Emperor from Star Wars.
Oh, you got to do that.
If they deflect the shield. Will be quite operational when your friends arrive. And then you gotta hit him with the sadistic smile. He's like,
unlimited power.
Unlimited power!
That was fucking great. That was great.
See, there's different emperors. There's
that was
like
fucking great.
The old feeble emperor from Return of the Jedi.
Is that one
fucking great?
Is that one of your favorite impressions to do?
I love doing it. Yeah,
that was fantastic.
And then Yoda, yes, strong am I with the Force, but not that strong.
Can you do? Can you recite Yoda lines as Christopher Walken?
Yes.
Try not. Do not. There is no try.
That was the greatest thing I've ever heard.
Do you know this? Because something I just heard with Rob is that something I was able to tell is that there's really not much difference between Christopher Walken and Yoda.
That's it. They speak the same way.
Right. They speak.
Of space queens, I am.
Space queens. That's amazing.
We were talking about off camera before that your Peter Griffin impression is so good. It got the attention of some of the people at Family Guy. Could you talk a little about
actually,
that?
They mentioned me in an episode of Family Guy. See, I didn't know if I was going to get sued when I first started going viral. So I made an IMDb Pro, and I reached out to Fuzzy Door Productions trying to get in contact with Seth just to make sure I'm not going to get sued. They said that they loved what I was doing. It came up in table reads, yada, 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 years later ago. You know, everybody's flaky in a box of fucking cereal in Hollywood. But they ended up mentioning me in episode season 17, episode 16, Behind the Booth. He's like freaking out that Lois is going to leave him, and then Seth MacFarlane like comes in the booth, not like physically, but like his voice. And he's like, you don't have to worry about any of those things because none of you are real. You're cartoons voiced by me, Alex Borstein, Mila Kunis, and Seth Green. He's like, wait, if I'm not real, then why does a fat nerd pretend to be me at every Comic-Con? He's like, don't mention Malia, encourage him. I was like, yes. People were like, are you mad? I'm like, fuck no.
How could
like
you
getting
be
your song parodied by Weird Al.
Come right.
On. Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's a huge compliment.
I'm canon on Family Guy now. Now I get to jack up my cameo prices.
I mean, you made it into Family Guy.
Yeah.
But that's like, people don't realize how much of an incredible honor that is for someone who's a fan of cartoons.
Oh, yeah.
Who's a fan of the show.
On a cartoon.
On a show that
one of the most famous cartoons ever.
It's nuts.
Adult cartoons.
So cool.
Like, think about the celebrities and the politicians you keep company with.
I'm up there with George Bush and the grape lady that fell. One of my best friends, CJ, he's a professional wrestler in the indie circuit, and we were working out together for a while, and one of my favorite things to do was to make him break with Macho Man Randy Savage. Like, yeah, the Macho Man. I'm balanced off balance. Doesn't matter. I'm better than you are. Step into a Slim Jim. Oh, yeah. I would love to do that shit. While he's
That's
trying
so
to like,
great.
He's like just laying there with the bar, like tearing up, trying to get through those sets. And I would just love to make him break with it.
That's what I do to my cousin with the Schwarzenegger.
It's like Karrion Kross did with Jesse the Body Ventura.
Yeah.
He's got a
good impression. Oh, my God.
Don't tell me you don't got four more reps in you. I was there. I was a frogman. So were you. I was doing Gulf.
A fog man.
It's like I was doing tricep extensions in the Gulf of Tonka.
The Gulf of Tonka. It's such a great. You gotta really.
Body Ventura.
Minnesota. I'm the governor of Minnesota.
9/11 was an inside job.
Job. Jesse Ventura. You know who Jesse Ventura is? No. No. Oh,
Jesse the
God.
Body. He was Hulk
Jesse
Hogan
the Body
Hulk
Ventura.
Hogan,
yes.
And he ran for mayor, right?
He was the governor of Minnesota.
Governor of Minnesota.
He was the governor.
I ain't got time to bleed.
Yeah.
He was in Predator, original Predator.
Yes.
With a huge cleft in his shin.
He's an absolute nut, but you don't want to question anything he says because he's still Jesse the Body Ventura. He's still this.
We can kill it.
Yeah. I'm speechless.
Everybody's got an Arnold Schwarzenegger impression.
Oh, yeah. Every time my cousin in the gym goes, Does that feel good? That feels right? Yeah, I get the feeling of coming.
Great. I'm coming all the time. Coming when I run. Get the pump on.
Get a good pump.
I thought Arnold Schwarzenegger was like a good, like, for those people that like
I
became.
Smoke my
yeah, I like the way you dust the blinds. I'll get you pregnant.
Who's your daddy and what does he do?
I gotta ask you. I've always been curious. To ask you, what's with the real life with freaking Lois Griffin?
Oh, Lois.
Yes.
Yeah, she's one of my best friends, Mandy.
Is Mandy the original Lois Griffin to your Peter Griffin?
Before her.
Right. Yeah.
I started talking to her. I would say, like, on social media, I think we met on, like, in 2017. But we didn't actually physically meet until January or February of 18.
Oh, wow.
And just so happened that she ended up having to move to Long Island temporarily because she had a flood in her apartment where she was living. And she was only, like, 20 minutes away from where I was living at the time. And we had already talked about doing Peter and Lois together. So she came over to the old basement studio, legendary, where I shoot all my grinds, my gears, and my podcast every Friday. And we made chemistry. I don't know. We were having fun live. We just went live and improvised off of each other. You know, you can't put a script in front of me, but if you let me rip, I'll just turn it on, the razzle dazzle. It's one of the things.
The razzle dazzle.
My friend Vin goes nuts over because he'll be like, Rob, all right, we got to do this, this, and that. I'm like, all right, whatever. And then he's like, he doesn't think it's going to happen. And then he puts on the camera and boom, there it is.
Yeah.
Turn it on. I don't know where it comes from. That's it. I'm ready. I just improv my way through life.
That's a good talent.
You kind of have to when you have ADHD and no pills.
It's a great outlet.
It is.
You know? It really is. I mean, you could be doing much less productive things in life than this.
I'm pretty unproductive.
I'm telling you, Rob, you know, you besides bringing a lot of joy to the world with your impressions, with your voices, I mean, the original content that you produce and you know, you have a live show that you do, right? Regularly.
Yeah, the Break Room Podcast. We do a live on YouTube every Friday evening between like 8:30 and 9, because then we hit, you know, technical difficulties, you guys well know. So sometimes we run a little late, but we have a great time. It's me, my buddy Vin, Joe, and Chris, and we just shoot the shit. We almost called it Four Fucking Opinions. That was going to be the original name of the show. We didn't know if they were going to let us monetize with the name, with the F word in our name. So, like, the Break Room. Because that's, you know, we all worked together, you know, and it's what we used to do. We used to shoot the shit in the break room. So that's how we came up with the idea. But then it was like, how do we come up with a logo? And then it was a point we had more logos and episodes, and we had to make a decision. So yeah, we ended up making it like this black circle with Mjolnir in the middle, like the Thor hammer and stuff, because like the break room, but you know, you're taking a break.
I love that, the break room. I'm going to manifest this for you, but I think that you said that you're into video games, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Big time.
I could picture you doing like voiceovers for Grand Theft Auto.
Oh,
like for one of those crazy, like, you know what I'm talking about? Like,
I mean,
one of those
Rockstar
crazy
games.
Characters. You know, yeah,
Rockstar
please.
Rockstar's on Long Island, too. They have studios.
Really?
What? Island. Really?
I didn't know that.
They have certain studios on Long Island.
Why did my voice go up three octaves when I found out Rockstar's on Long Island?
Yeah,
I turned into Mickey Mouse when you
work,
just...
I met people that work for Rockstar at different events. I'd be like,
really?
Work for Rockstar on Long Island. I'm like, oh, shit.
Really? Rockstar on Long Island?
It's a really funny story.
Where is it?
Where the hell is it?
Oh,
it's in Bethpage.
Yeah,
like that.
It's
remember.
Deep out in Suffolk, I think.
Yeah, but I ended up getting to meet the entire cast of Red Dead Redemption 2.
That's cool. And that's really cool.
I'm big into cowboy, you know, games and stuff like that. And my dad's old school with Gene Autry and all that shit. Like, he grew up in all. He was born in 1950, so he was right in line for all that stuff. So when cowboy games always came out, I would go nuts. And there was this con that doesn't run anymore, unfortunately, called Great Philadelphia Comic Con, and they had the entire cast over there, and I do all their voices too, so I was hanging out with them doing their voices for them, and it was hysterical because you said you guys played that game, you know, Dutch Vanderlyn, like the leader of the gang.
I played the original Red Dead Redemption.
See, I played it.
So he was
for
the
like
bad guy
minutes.
You're chasing after in that game.
Ah,
Dutch.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, so Dutch is like the leader of the gang. And the second game is actually a prequel. It's actually when they're all still a gang and kind of shows
okay.
how it all fell apart. The main character you play is this guy, Arthur Morgan, that you actually don't see in Red Dead Redemption 2 because he's already gone. But the second game is a masterpiece of storytelling, but the voices are so unique because you get John Marston from the last game, and then you get Arthur Morgan's kind of down here, and you know, easy girl, you're all right, And then you get Dutch Vanderland, who's like, I have a plan, Arthur. Have a little goddamn faith. We're going to grow mangoes in Tahiti. And I'm doing all this shit for them. Dutch Vanderland, the guy, the big Ben Davis, his name is, he leans in, he's like, do me a favor, kid. Never contact Rockstar.
Really?
Whoa. I mean,
well, what he's saying is, like, you could do all of it. You could put us all out of a job.
Yeah.
It was funny. It's just cool that I got to hang out with those guys. I love to meet voice actors.
You have such an ear and such a retention for all that. It goes to show you how much of a genius you really are.
You play hours of the character, though.
We need to get you at Rockstar.
No, it's more than that. There's people who play this stuff professionally on Twitch who can't do impressions like that. That
Twitch
is
Twitch as well, you know.
That is such
a... I used to Twitch, and then they took me off for Ritalin. But I do Twitch stream. I do the... They added Peter Griffin to Fortnite. So now I play as Peter.
It's hysterical.
People go nuts over these streams, and that's kind of been the whole resurgence of the internet and all that shit. And it comes in waves, you know. Like, I'll get popular all of a sudden. When I made the first TikTok video, that shit went viral, and then Inside Edition interviewed me again. It was the second time he did that, because I had first gone viral in 2015. It's just kind of funny how it just snowballs, and now with this whole Fortnite thing, my streams have been, like, I've been getting like 600 people watching me play video games. I'm like, this is wild. I never expected this. Because I used to get maybe 10, 15 people if I was lucky. But I'm also my own worst enemy. I don't advertise for shit. You know, I'm a procrastinator to end them all. And then I'll just go live and do it. And it's like, it takes more prep work to really be successful. Like, if you want to let people know, you know, you got to let them know a week in advance or a few days at least.
I'm with you. I'm out.
Posting shit like 20 minutes before. Hey, I'm going live in a few minutes. I mean, that doesn't help the guy that's stuck at work. You know?
Yeah. Rob, I'm with you. I'm like a non-starter.
It's terrible.
That's why I hire an Anthony.
I need, you know.
Anthony is like my North Star with all this.
There you go.
You know? Otherwise, I'd be sitting home twiddling my thumbs waiting for the next show.
Oh, forget it.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, between the ADHD and the procrastination and all that shit. It's lucky that I got anywhere. Which, I mean, you got your own, you know, you got to be on the TV and all that stuff with the singing and all that.
Yeah, I was pushed into all that, though. My uncle got me to sing and then pushed me to do that and then pushed me to try out for American Idol. And then American Idol happened and they had called me off of that to come audition for America's Got Talent. I mean, I was kind of motivated and led to all that in a lot of ways. I mean, in a way, sure, you know, I got to do it, but in a lot of ways, I was kind of, you know, here, go here.
They reached out to me, the America's Got Talent people. They wanted me on there, but I had already established a platform for myself.
Yeah, but why not?
Fine print and shit.
Oh, yeah. You
got to kick up like a certain percentage to them.
No. If you win.
If you win. I mean, who's going there to lose? You got to fight.
Listen, pal.
You got to do it, bro.
You got to do it. But at the end of the day, at the end of the day, you do what's right for you. There were a lot of acts on America's Got Talent who were professionals, who were guys doing it already. And, you know, who kind of almost needed to lose. It was like, all right, I want to get this notoriety. I want to get out there. I want to get my name out there and get it on a broader thing. And I'm already, at the time, they were already booked on tour doing this or that or booked.
They like to call it. They want to earn their table at Comic-Con. You know, it's...
Right. I mean, in a way, if you did a show like America's Got Talent, you would just be promoting what you're doing now and bringing more people to the Comic-Cons. Is that something that has kind of grown from this impression at the ATM at 2012 Comic-Con? Now are people coming to Comic-Cons to see you?
Oh, sure.
And
I get booked to go to Comic-Con.
Mandy, right? Is her name? Mandy.
Life Lois. In fact, the two of us are going to be going to Niagara Falls in June. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Wow. Niagara Falls.
Comic-Con. Dolph Lundgren's going to be there. I'm very excited.
Very cool.
That's very cool.
Do you do a Dolph Lundgren impression?
He dies. And
it's fantastic.
Robert Patrick is going to be there, too. Because he's great. He's not only is he one of the Terminators, but he was also in The Sopranos, if you remember. He was the one that owned the They had the gambling addiction problem that
this kid went to school
with AJ. And
right.
Got with Tony and the
Yes, he owned the sporting goods store. Yeah.
He's in a lot of movies.
Get back in your fucking hole.
Yeah, exactly. He just runs away. He's like, you're doing a good job.
It's so good.
So yeah, that's it's gonna be. A
wow, he's gonna sell. That's great.
Mention it's gonna be great. I can't wait for that.
And you're on the bill.
Yeah.
Wow. I kind of want to go.
Yeah, Niagara Falls. I mean, it's right there. You know,
Comic-Con is.
I kind of want
to
go.
Is looks to. I haven't been.
You never been to a convention.
I've never been to a convention.
If you went to the.
I shouldn't say I've never been to a convention. I went to Sopranos Con or Mob Movie Con, whatever it was called.
I remember that.
I went to the 20th anniversary thing for The Sopranos when they had the entire cast out there and stuff.
Yeah, I went to that too.
Kind of trippy because then I saw James Franco. I took a picture with him.
Wow.
Because I think he was in a play with Gandolfini's son. And like, you know.
Oh, there's the connect.
Too, so they, you know, kind of went to support him. So I saw Gandolfini.
But it looks like a tremendous amount of fun.
Furio. You got a B on your act.
these Comic-Cons look like a really... Yeah, it looks like a trip.
My dad
and I'm sure that I have a different experience than a lot of other people because I'm kind of a character myself, so I'm kind of going there with it. You know, I'm not just, you know, an average fan just going up. I'm somebody that has a table there, and you know, so I kind of have a little bit of the end.
Have a table at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
That's tremendous.
That's huge.
But, I've been doing it a long time. And
what does your brother think of all this?
Oh, my brother thinks it's hysterical. He tells everybody. And what's really
your brother brought you to Comic-Con.
My brother's a funeral director now. So I like to say, my jokes knock him dead and he buries
Which them. Home?
He's at Boyd Spencer in Babylon.
I'm going to write that down.
Yeah.
He's good. 10% off.
No, he's really good. My brother will take care of it. I'm not saying that because I'm his brother.
Your brother's a funeral director.
Yeah.
And...
Can I say how proud I am of my brother, though?
Sure.
Yeah.
My brother is, like, the hardest working person I know.
Well, the funeral director is an amazing job.
Fucking business, because he started off, he went to school to Hofstra to be a journalist. Became a production assistant and associate producer for News 12.
Wow.
Found there was no job, you know, money in journalism at the time.
Right.
Reinvented himself. Went back to school for a master's in secondary education for English. So he became a high school English teacher for 10 fucking years.
Wow.
And then, in his 30s, decided he was not happy in the job and went online school to McAllister fucking University or whatever they are to learn the mortuary service craft. And let me tell you, they got to learn art because you got to reconstruct faces out of clay sometimes.
Right.
They got to learn business. They got to learn accounting. They got to learn all kinds of shit. Chemistry.
Well, besides all that, your brother's already learned how to be a teacher.
All this stuff.
Wow.
All this stuff. And he's written 2 books.
He's a published author.
He's a published author. Yeah, he wrote 2 books.
This is some family, the Franzises.
The first one's about my grandmother growing up and the Italian-American experience in Brooklyn.
What's the name of the book?
Love that.
Nettie Tales of a Brooklyn Nana.
Wow.
It's available on Amazon and all that stuff.
I'm going to check it out.
And then the second one's about my father's father. That was my mother's mother. This one's about my father's father. It's called Pasquale. Tales of a Brooklyn Grocer's son.
Wow.
And my great-grandfather, the original Pete, which is kind of funny. My father's Pete, my brother's Pete, and my great-grandfather was Pete. I'm the only one that's not Pete, and I became Peter Griffin. The fuck are the chances? But Pietro Franzese used to own Franzese General Goods on Humboldt Street in Greenpoint, and they knocked down the building to extend the BQE, so it actually doesn't exist anymore.
Wow.
Yeah. But there's like, I have this old school, it was crazy, and I just bump into shit on the internet sometimes. We're scrolling, there's this old school photographer website had like archive photos of the city from back in those days. And there's a picture inside the general store, my great grandfather standing behind the register, and my grandfather as a little kid.
How great is that?
Cool. So I ended up getting this Gioconda poster printed of it like that, and I have it in my hallway. And it's kind of like, you know, the first famous Franzese, I guess, you know, in the neighborhood. Well, maybe not the first one. There's other Franzese.
Is it just the two of you and your brother?
Yeah.
Wow. Is your older brother?
Yeah. 10 years, my senior.
Wow.
Yeah. He was born in 78. I was born in 88.
You got it. But that's a great, your brother's a great guy to look up to.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he must be incredibly proud that he brought you to Comic-Con.
He
and
was
now
telling everybody about
and now here you are. And now you have a table at Comic-Con.
Part. And it's kind of hysterical because it's funny, it's not funny. Like, even just recently, we went to a family friend. My brother grew up with the girl. Her father passed away. So we went to the wake. And, you know, you're looking around, everybody's crying. You know, it's a wake. And the mother, the wife of the one that passed away, starts going around telling, she's old school Italian, so she starts telling everybody, he's the Peter Griffin on the internet. She starts making me do the voice at the wake.
At the wake?
In the front of a wake, doing the Peter Griffin impression. And then I turn to the body, I'm like, sorry for taking away from your moment here. Oh. And when I tell you that every crying face turned into laughing in that room, you never know. What you needed.
That sounds like a real Peter Griffin moment.
It is.
That sounds like a complete Peter Griffin moment.
People are dying to get into this act, you know?
You know, one thing that you said that kind of dawned on me was I don't think people realize that this influencing thing, like you know, the concentration of everyone in, like, the Brooklyn, Queens area and all this stuff, is pretty relatively new. Like, I would say it's about 5 or 6 years old. So that means if you actually do the math, you were probably one of the first.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially with, like, bringing Comic-Con to the forefront.
Yeah.
I mean, there was, like, cosplay royalty before me, like Yaya Han. She was a very famous cosplayer because she was also a seamstress, and she made these elaborate costumes. And I was kind of in my own league, and I've always been in my own league as far as, yes, I'm a cosplayer, but I'm not making the costume.
Yeah. Right.
I'm making the costume come to life.
Right, 100%.
Like, a lot of these people can look amazing as their character, but they're just walking around looking like.
But then they stick up. That's so funny.
But I love going up to someone and be like, hey, how'd you go in there, Batman? Why don't you just kill the Joker? I mean, how many people have to die before this guy can die? You know, and people don't know what to say. You know, they just stand there like, this fucking guy is being aggressive.
I honestly think that's pretty funny when they're doing, like, interviews at Comic-Con. There's this huge, like, this person spent like $12,000 on their elaborate costume, and then they're like, go to interview them, and they stick the mic, and it's like this crazy, like, headdress thing, and then you hear this very kind of
it's so funny. And you know, I almost miss the days where I wasn't famous with it yet, because messing with people as a leader without them expecting it was one of my favorite things. Because, like, just like that with the Batman, or you just, you know, look at that guy, he's, you know, Fat Goku or something.
You're alive. You're there.
People are like, oh my God. It takes them so off guard that it's like, oh my God, this is nuts. And now it's like, I remember the shift when it went from that guy's Peter Griffin to, oh shit, that's the Peter Griffin guy.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, now my reputation precedes me more than my stomach, and that's saying something.
You have this ability in the same way you do impressions, you know, and the same, I should say this, for the same reason you are so good at impressions, you have a way of bringing the character to life. It that's just really unparalleled by many people.
Like what you were saying with, like, the characters, they don't do the voices and stuff. Like, I remember one time this guy, he had to be like 6'9". Dressed like Jason Voorhees and, like, super intimidated. He's got this giant machete. He's got the blood on the mask and all that stuff. He just leans in. He's like, I love your videos. And I'm like, oh, my God. This takes you right out of the shit. And it's just so funny. It's, you know, and the celebrities that I've made laugh over the years is you know, I love doing something like that. Like, when I met Billy D. Williams, who was Lando Calrissian in Star Wars, and he's like, you do that voice very well. And I'm like, oh my God, it's fucking Billy D. Williams. And I, if I had more money, I probably would have offered it to him to do a video if he would have been the cool side of the pillow for me in a video. Because I don't know if you remember that, where Billy D. Williams is the cool side of the pillow. He flips up on the pillow and he's like, hello, Peter. He's like, Billy J. Williams. Wow. Fonzie loved it. You know, Henry Winkler.
Henry Winkler was very cool.
Wow,
very cool.
Yeah, he
that had to be
gave
really
me
cool.
The blessing. I was like, oh my God, I've been validated by Fonzieism.
That's amazing.
That was my favorite episode. Let us a.
Let us a. Fantastic, Rob.
I studied career with this whole thing, and it's just been I got to see a lot of cool places I never would have otherwise, and I've had a lot of adventures that aren't even on camera. Like, if people knew the half the shit that I've done as Peter Griffin that I didn't have a camera for, that they would go nuts. Like, when I met Roger Bumpus, who's the voice of Squidward, and this was at Atlanta, Georgia, for Dragon Con, which is huge. It's like Nerdy Gras. It's nuts.
Nerdy Gras.
I'm telling you, it's like 4 days, and the hotel's shut down, the heart of Atlanta. There's a whole parade and stuff like
that. Oh, the peach tree.
Yeah, everything's peach tree over
there. Yeah, yeah.
Peach tree road, peach tree your ass.
Yeah.
And I remember going over to him. I was like, hey, Squidward, are you finished with those errands? How about now? How about now? How about now? He's like, all right. He's like, yay, now we can go jellyfishing. Ah. And he's like, let's not and say we did. And I was like, God, I wish I was on camera.
That's amazing.
Rob, thank you so much for coming on the show, bro.
You're amazing.
Thanks for having me.
Rob, you were one of the most interesting people we've had on this podcast.
I think
so
this is my favorite podcast.
Hard in a while.
I gotta agree.
I think this is my favorite podcast.